GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Peter Robbins. I'm Gene with Chris on the Paracast. Going back to some of the things I was mentioning, and we kind of dovetailed into your personal encounters when I went into hypnotic regression. But let's look at more myths about UFO abductions. That's really, in many cases, sleep paralysis. You know, you wake up, you can't move, but you're kind of having a nightmare. And now our cultural expectation has gray aliens, UFOs, that kind of thing, with all the science fiction on TV and the movies. So what about sleep paralysis?
Yes, I love that term, cultural expectation. That's great. Well, there is absolutely no question in any sane person's mind that has looked into it, whether they're a medical or mental health professional or a layperson, that this is a diagnosed, absolute, real condition where you wake up and you're unable to move for reasons that I am not aware of, technically speaking. It's absolutely a given. But for, again, debunkers or mean-spirited skeptics to then presume that this person has somehow is so weak-minded that they, because they can't move, they then are seeing a being or beings standing in their room, or that they're floated through a solid object like a window or a wall, or that they're taken, or that one is also having to presume that they are scarring themselves. Not that that doesn't happen either. But how do they make those tiny little ice cream scoops that self-cauterize and never seem to bleed? Are they enrolling other people in lying for them in cases where this is witnessed on one level or another? And again, I would direct anybody's attention to the book Witnessed by Hopkins.
The point being here is that you can't dismiss, though, the fact that sometimes mental health issues are responsible for some people thinking they're being abducted.
Well, that would be not just naive, it would be extremely poor deductive method and absolutely unethical. The fact is that of people who have had these experiences, I would expect that there is a an appropriate breakdown among those people of people who have had any number of situations, problems, whether or not they smoke or drink or are, neurotic on some level or another. However, one thing I will always be indebted to Dr. John Mack for was as a distinguished professor of psychiatry and a clinician, Pulitzer Prize-winning writer and co-founder of the psychiatric wing of Cambridge Hospital in Boston. John, who also worked with abductees, although we disagreed on many things, he was qualified to and did run standard psychological tests on the people that came to him. And in every case, and not almost every case, except for this extraordinary series of memories and experiences, they absolutely tested out as normal people and representative of the population at large.
So there's no specific class of people, racial characteristics or anything else, income levels, that are more or less prone to being abducted?
Well, in fact, it's just the opposite. For me, that was most clear in years of attending support group meetings in New York City. I would say that pretty much every ethnicity, background, social and political point of view, men and women, older and younger, again, people who had high school educations and PhDs, people who were doctors and lawyers and mental health professionals, I would add, who certainly knew that if they ever were public about this, they would lose their licenses to practice, because of course they're crazy if they say that happened.
Is that one of the reasons why more mental health professionals aren't getting involved in abduction research, kind of leaving the layman to kind of figure it out?
Gosh, I'll tell you what, if I were a psychologist or a psychiatrist and I wanted to learn more about this or get involved, I'd be very discreet about it, and I think it takes tremendous courage to do otherwise, and in some ways can be very counterproductive. In fact, I will tell you for a fact that there were at least six psychiatrists and quite a number of psychologists who developed very cordial relationships with Bud and who formed part of our very informal network of mental health professional referrals around the states that confided to Bud and he to me as his assistant, and I do not break those confidences, and here I'm not giving any names, of course, but what they would ultimately say was the reason I got into the healing arts or became a psychologist was because this has happened to me since I was a child as well, and I wanted to of some value.
Okay, now that certainly dovetails to our next question,
yes.
Which is from the critics. Okay, the critics, or some critics say, okay, and it gets personal, as you know, Bud Hopkins and Dr. David Jacobs were just a couple of dirty old men looking for poor unfortunate people to exact the lurid details of their abduction encounters, with specific emphasis on those that seem to have sexual experimentation in terms of taking sperm samples, such things like that. What's your response to that?
Yes, that there are people who, of course, would seize upon that. Number one, let's say, hypothetically, that they were people of low character who, for some horrific, you know, personal, really twisted reason or deep neuroses or need to feel special or what have you, were so objectionable as people that they would do these things. This, I would imagine, number one, should be actionable legally. Number two, Dr. Jacobs, who just retired from his post as a very popular professor of history at Temple University in Philadelphia, should have certainly lost all credibility as an academic and been fired by the university. And in fact, some of the attackers have tried to do just that, completely without success. But the other thing is, again, trying to pull back a moment here and be as objective as I can, as somebody who is just listening to this show, trying to take in what we're talking about and whether or not we're joking or delusional, or maybe, God forbid, this is something that might be going on, one would want to think anything other than the possibility that it really is as presented, no matter what, first, rather than accept this incredible reality as a possibility. So on a certain level, you know, I appreciate that there are people that are going to at least examine that point of view, but to then maintain it, I think we only need to look to the history of some of the true pioneers of science and other areas of discovery over the millennia to see that, you know, they were the ones who were the most attacked in their time. You have somebody like Copernicus, who was imprisoned by the Roman Catholic Church in the 1590s for stating that he felt the earth went around the sun, and after 6 years he was burned at the stake as a heretic. I'm pleased to report that in the last few years the church has apologized and said that maybe they've overreacted a bit.
It's a bit too late.
Yeah, well,
you know, I think
Wilhelm Reich is another perfect
sure.
example.
Well, don't even, yes, in fact, he would be an example that I'd be glad to devote a whole show to. That is an area of specialty research and investigation for me that precedes this. In fact, last month I had the great honor of speaking about Reich and UFOs at a conference on his work and discoveries in central Greece. I've lectured on this in France and at different Reich conferences around the world over the years.
Well, I think part of the situation here, too, is that you wonder about people who take these very extraordinary events and turn them into lurid tabloid-style headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think nobody is above criticism. I mean, we can take the work of a Bud Hopkins and a Dr. David Jacobs, who can say, well, they did this right, they did this wrong, and that's legitimate to say. They should
Nobody
be analyzed.
Should
the only way we're going to understand what's going on is to analyze the work that's being done, and if they've made mistakes, fine, take that evidence and don't use it. We'll get into more of this on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We're talking to Peter Robbins, co-author with Larry Warren of Left at Eastgate. That's the Rendlesham book And of course, you're always in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99, and every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hey, everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze-Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze-Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze-Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We continue with Peter Robbins, with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. So we're talking about, I guess, the criticism. The fact that it's not just criticizing somebody's methods, but trashing a person's personality, just ripping it apart to shreds for whatever motives. How do you feel about that?
Well, not good. The fact is, though, this has nothing to do with UFOs. It is common human behavior throughout history when information is too disturbing or a new discovery suggests that absolutely set and understood belief is now open to question, better to destroy the discoverer. And if you can't destroy their findings, attack their character. This is all too common in our culture. And right now, I think we're seeing it in American politics a lot. It's just become a very brutal and, as you say, tabloid kind of game. Let's remember here also that we live in a world that of low information individuals where Fox leads the charge around the world to continue to knock brain cells out of people's heads, and where newsfotainment passes for actual information that is happening.
Or
and that they get all self-righteous and huffy when you bring that to their attention. And I will say here, and I forget, I think it's a quote credited to Joseph Goebbels about the big lie. If you keep repeating a lie and you do it loud enough and irate enough, at a certain point, people will get worn down, and if it's what they're hearing, they will begin to assume that it has some factual basis. This is very effective, and it's been used throughout history, so why should we expect different here? In fact, here we should expect it all the more. And in fact, when you study the history of public perception in media of UFOs, it has been singled out for such an incredible level of derision, attack, condescension, belittling, and when you can't attack the information, you attack the credibility of the individual. Again, this is an area that fascinates me in terms of its impact on controlling information and making mass impact on a culture. We, the human race, we, the first world, we, the New York Times and the news media of the Western world, have done an absolutely brilliant job. Even now, when we live in a time when more and more people, even if they don't readily discuss it, will say to people they're close to, or at least think, yes, this is a possibility. This is interesting. This might actually be the way it is.
Now, how can we push this aside other than ignoring these people? Because I'll tell you, we've been demonized here on the Paracast constantly. So, you know, they talk about...
Well, not you, Gene. Well, never mind.
Well, they focus on you. You're a money grubber, by the way, because you have this tape, this DVD set that you have on disclosure. You're not entitled to possibly sell a few copies and make a couple of dollars. I mean, that's what you think so.
Educate people. And again, I can't stress how impressed, Peter, and I don't say this very, very often on the show. I don't stroke my guests, but I'm telling you, when you talk about your interest in the media's role in the truth embargo, let's say, or how, you know, the public knowledge of UFOs has unfolded since, you know, Roswell's Kenneth Arnold incident.
Yes.
Your point about that initial article in the New York Times about the Roswell incident is so powerful, and it is so indicative of exactly what you've been talking about in terms of really putting a lid down culturally on something that is so paradigm shifting and so, like, out of the norm, out of the pale, that the effects of that have reverberated for decades.
Yes, they have, and very well. I'm crazy enough or obsessed enough with this subject to, in a number of separate projects, I have found and downloaded every single article the New York Times has ever published on this subject, and I went for the Times because it's a paper that I have tremendous admiration for. It is arguably the flagship of American journalism, print journalism, and has a long and distinguished history, but there is kind of an interesting caveat in their slogan, all the news that's fit to print. This news is
right.
Not fit to print, and I don't mean it in a joking way. I mean it's terrifying to many people. Whether or not that there was a policy decision made back then, I can only make educated guesses. But having read every single article the New York Times has ever published and seen the impact it has had from the get-go on other major news carriers, whether it was radio with David Sarnoff and NBC, or the Hearst Syndicate of Papers, or the Copley Syndicate of Newspapers, the impact was tremendous. And once it was understood that this was a subject that should be singled out for special treatment, and that there were now two kinds of journalism. There was journalism and UFO journalism. And UFO journalism, that was flying saucers and little green men. Even if people seemed serious, we all know it's nonsense. So if you don't get everything right or whatever, you can play fast and loose with it. But I observed very specific patterns in the way the reportage was twisted, whether it came in a series of articles or one article.
So would you suggest then, Peter, that this way of reporting UFOs, was that something that just everybody fell into that habit? Or was this mandated by management, the big corporations who also support the politicians?
I think we can deduce that once the initial reporting got out there, and that first week, because again, the Times completely ignored the Kenneth Arnold sightings, but the day after the Roswell announcement that in fact a disc had been recovered, the day that poor Jesse Marcel Sr. was humiliated and never was quite the same for the rest of his life, the poor man, the Times seized on the story and attacked its credibility. They did such a number, and that became policy. Now, my point is, however it happened, and I have no idea how, I have my ideas and theories, but once the major papers began to cover this subject in a condescending way, the signal was sent out to the news media. The only ones who didn't pick up on it and who still don't are local newspapers, who overall do serious reportings of local sightings.
Now, signal in what sense? Do you think that the government sent the signal, or is it the publishers talking amongst each other?
All that needed to be done, as far as I'm concerned, from wherever the lead came, and I will send you an extensive paper that you can post on your site here. I think it'll be better than trying to use all our time to explain the theoretics. But for me, once it was established that the subject is silly and should be covered in a silly way, editors, publishers, and certainly reporters, who wants to buck the system? You know, you want to be the one to report that it's serious? You're going to be a laughingstock among your colleagues. Make no mistake about it.
You'd be like Frank Edwards, a newscaster on radio, who lost his gig.
Well, Edwards is a whole nother case. He ended up being the most influential radio broadcaster about the subject of his time in the 60s. He was the person who first brought Donald Kehoe on the air and made this a serious topic of discussion. He wrote several New York Times bestsellers.
Sure.
And although I have looked into and done a whole separate amount of research on alleged deaths that are somewhat suspicious of people who have been involved in the work, most of which I think were either coincidental or just sort of conspiratorial wish fulfillment, I do have some very serious questions about Edwards' passing.
And I want to ask you about that, because I did know Frank Edwards slightly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
We're talking to Peter Robbins, and you're hearing Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Hey Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to SoupBeanSurvival.com.
SoupBeanSurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at SoupBeanSurvival.com SoupBeanSurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit SoupBeanSurvival.com. That's SoupBeanSurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
A little bit later on, we'll have some questions for Peter Robbins from our listeners who post on the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. And I was saying there earlier that I met Frank Edwards a few times, had some pleasant conversations with him, a really nice guy. Now, he was kind of a heavy guy, so you kind of think a guy is overweight, he dies young, maybe that's a logical explanation, but you're saying there's something more there.
Yes, and as we're speaking, I'm trying to see if I can locate that paper without too much trouble here, simply because I did such good research on it, I thought I don't want to try to remember. And in fact, I'm giving a lecture on it in a few weeks in Rochester, New York. Frank Edwards began his career as a radio broadcaster in 1924. He was actually a White House correspondent from 49 to 54 and was cited as one of the nation's three top broadcasters in 1953. The other two were Edward R. Murrow and Lowell Thomas. I mean, the guy was a player. He wrote a number of books relative to the subject, Stranger Than Science, Strangest of All, but his two real blockbusters on this subject were UFOs, Serious Business, and UFOs, Here and Now. They were major bestsellers in this country, and I think the first one internationally. He was also a member of the Board of Governors of NICAP, very hard-hitting. He also was the person who introduced America per se to Donald Kehoe, the voice, rather than just the book. Kehoe's books preceded him. He was a first real major UFO best-selling author. Where I have problems with the events surrounding his death, and I'm not saying there's foul play, I'm saying that there is cause for further investigation. There is no question he was a heavy fellow, probably had high blood pressure based on, you know, his weight. And he passed away a few minutes before midnight on June 23rd, 1967. In New York City, at an event that he was about to speak for, called the Conference of Scientific Ufologists that had been scheduled for the next morning.
And I was on the board of the Conference of Scientific Ufologists.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how about that? Well, the fact that he died suddenly the morning before he was going to speak, yes, I believe in coincidences. I don't think that everything happens for a reason. Stuff just sometimes bumps into each other. This, for me, though, this pushes the threshold a bit. Not that it's an impossible coincidence, far from it.
How old was he?
Well, let's see. We can make a deduction. This was 1967. He began his broadcasting career in 1924.
So we're assuming a guy in his 60s.
Early 60s, maybe, I would guess.
Sure.
But not more. Not more. I mean, again, who knows? There could be a perfectly legitimate death certificate there that actually states realistic causes or not.
Parenthetically, my brother died at the age of 62. Mm. But that happened in the 1990s after a magazine called Longevity had this article, not too many months before he died, saying why Wally Steinberg plans or hopes to live forever. The wrong kind of article, I guess.
Irony.
Here's another thing, too. He passed away a few minutes before midnight on the 23rd of June, or possibly a few minutes after. And if it was after, it would have been on the exact 20th anniversary of the Kenneth Arnold sightings. Again, the chances are 1 in 165.
Boy.
I mean, it's not a million to one shot, but these two things taken together, for me, signal that further investigation is warranted. Not that he was murdered for what he knew about UFOs. Never jump the gun. But yes, this is interesting. And if it was one of those things, interesting. If it's two of them, worthy of further investigation.
Well, I must say that two of the most influential books for me as a youngster growing up were John Fuller's book, Incident at Exeter, and Frank Edwards' book, UFO Serious Business. And, let's move forward here in our conversation. Gene, where were we? We were talking about the mythos about the abduction phenomenon.
Yeah, and I think we kind of got into the general UFO field.
Yeah.
And
right.
I think part of it is we were raising questions about
the
methodology, about the media, but also about some people who have basically decided to demonize the leading investigators in the UFO abduction field and demonize me and demonize you and demonize Don Ecker, Chris.
Don.
You know, as you've been calling
Don
forever, they are worried about what car I drive and whether somebody complained because I once spent 99 cents on a pay-per-view video. I wrote an article about it because I couldn't get it to work. But they complained because having the usual financial difficulties people have in this day and age, they said, you wasted money, 99 cents. You should, buy a new car for that.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to have to ring off now. I'm actually very irate that you would do that when that money should have been better applied.
Yes. And I definitely shouldn't buy my wife coffee.
No.
Oh, that's a big one. There's somebody out there who has been screaming about that.
You should make it yourself, for goodness sakes, not buy it from one of those fancy retail places.
Yeah, like a convenience store for
$1.29. Crazy, man.
Yes, I'm just totally. And I shouldn't be using Macs. I should buy a $300 PC and have it blow up in my face.
There you go.
That works for me.
Hey. Yeah.
Or raise bugs, virus.
I just paid $200 to have mine fixed.
I am afraid to say. But seriously speaking, looking at UFO abductions, is it because David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins were considered leading investigators that they were signaled out over and above everybody else?
As opposed to?
I don't know. How many other people are doing active? How many people?
John Carpenter. I mean, there are other individuals that have
Without question. There are a number of other individuals who have done what I consider, good work or serviceable work or done their very best to get to the bottom of it from their point of view. But I think it's fair to say in the world of ufology, the two most seminal names are Hopkins and Jacobs. They really pioneered the territory, and all I can say without belaboring the point, is read their works and make your criticism based on the works that you've read. I'd also suggest one of the finest books on the subject and one of the lesser known ones is a book called UFOs and Abductions, Challenging the Borders of Knowledge. It's a particularly important and unique book in that it was published by the University of Kansas Press. Now, university presses are notoriously skittish about this subject, and the fact is that this is a very courageous book, except for, I think, Bud's paper. Everybody in the book is a PhD, and it is all academics, all people who are involved in the work. But yes, Hopkins and Jacobs have the highest visibility in this work, so if you're going to attack somebody, you know, it's the American way. You want to become well-known and do it in a fairly lively way and not have to go through years of establishing yourself, you know, shoot somebody better known, allegorically or actually, and all of a sudden you're famous. Wow. And I have seen that repeatedly over the years, in the last few years, certainly no exception, of people who were not known in the field who now are somewhat known, specifically as the attackers of well-known people. And now they've got, you know, their own little area of following and, you know, are working it for what they can.
Well, we can call them bottom feeders. I don't know. But, okay, so here's the point. Who's going to take over this research? Now, we have David Jacobs is retired. He's not a young guy. We hope he's going to continue to be healthy for many years.
Right.
Bud Hopkins just passed on. We have a situation here where we have to find the next generation of researchers. If we're going to evaluate the works of these people and decide one way or the other what can go, what can stay, where can we take it from here, let's figure out what's happening. So where do we take it? Where are the young whippersnappers who are going to snap this up?
What can they bring to the table that they've learned from these pioneers in the field that we've been discussing?
And the answer will come from Peter Robbins. In just a moment, you're listening to Gene and Chris, and we'll have more on the other side of
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Peter Robbins. He's here in two capacities today, or multiple capacities, but also as a founding member and advisory board member of Bud Hopkins Intruders Foundation, also as the author of Left at Eastgate. And probably what we'll do after this answer is get into listener questions and a little bit about Rendlesham. So the question is on the table. The next generation of UFO abduction researchers, tell us.
Well, we will find out as they emerge. There is no set answer to that. For example, don't think for a second that somebody who is a board member of the Intruders Foundation is simply going to come forward and say, I am now the new Bud Hopkins. This is simply not going to be the case. People establish themselves on their own, and things follow that. I know, you know, and when you said, where is the new young generation, three or four guys and gals in their 20s came right to my mind, who I've met, spent time with, assisted in my own way, and done some interviews with or made introductions for, who are as passionate as anybody in their 20s pursuing something that may well be what they're going to be doing fully and professionally. We don't know where they're going to come from, but they're certainly out there. And we will find out together who they are as they emerge. Just to give a name means nothing. You've got to do the work, and we might not, you know, see who they are for some time to come. But we have a tremendous amount of work to go through to analyze, to subject to criticism. And a point that I meant to make before it got by me about, you know, criticizing people like Bud or Dave. Well, anybody that is involved in radical new work or theory or discoveries should welcome criticism. And I don't mean debunking. I mean functional criticism based on what they allege. This is part of the process that drives knowledge and science or any other area of study forward, the dialogue. But this is completely separate phenomena than character attacks on individuals or specious misinterpretations of work or stacking the deck in some way or another with false information. And I'll tell you, I just remembered, this has got to be, well, John Mack was certainly still alive. And John, our basic disagreement And I know it was the same one that he had with Bud, was John. He's an eminently decent man who I can't tell you how much I like him. He's just a wonderful guy. He sponsored me speaking, I guess about 1998 or so, for the staff and invited guests of the Cambridge Hospital Psychiatric Wing on Rendlesham and stress in UFO studies. It was one of the most amazing audiences I have ever had. Extremely respectful. But John wanted to find transcendence, I think, and positive things in this experience. I know that people that come through it, for me, they just go on to live their lives and, you know, have their dreams, even though this stuff may be going on. I think it's a testimonial to the strength of the human character. But again, this drive for looking for something positive, maybe it's there. I just didn't see it in the cases that I was involved in or am involved in over the years. And I'm certainly open to any new information to change my thinking on any aspect of this. Nothing is set in stone here.
Chris, you want to get into some of the questions from our listeners?
Right. And, you know, I think, Peter, you just did a good job answering a couple of questions, just, you know, with your previous statements. And this comes from Ellendil, who's a forum poster from Croatia. Actually has been involved in the forums here at the Paracast since August of last year. And he just asked about your opinion on the current state of abduction research, and I think you've answered that pretty well.
Yeah.
But he brings up an interesting point, and that is, how do you feel about the questions that have been raised about, you know, investigative protocols? Is Hopkins to be blamed for being sloppy and not careful enough? For instance, in the case of Jim Amortolaro, I think is how you pronounce it.
Amortolaro, yes, exactly.
And, you know, I could talk about Linda Cortile or other things as well. That's my own caveat there. But is there a need to reevaluate the work of Hopkins? Do we take it at face value, or, you know, do we need to really back engineer the work?
I don't think either. Oh, you know, anybody is welcome to do anything. But number one, anything that's put forward in the public realm should not be taken at face value. We should all be in the habit of doing our own research investigation. Yes, of course, it's problematic, you know, working jobs and earning a living and having other things to do in our lives. Now, as far as Jim Mortadello case went, I was there. I knew Jim. I worked this as an assistant, and Jim was a very convincing liar who may well have had experiences but lied about aspects, was a charmer, very colorful, led us down quite a path, but Jim was very, very much an exception to the rule. And of course, you want to put that forward and, you know, claim it from the tops of the roofs that we did this, fine.
Right, one bad apple in the bunch, sure.
Yeah, and the reason I sort of waylaid off onto Dr. Mack there was Time Magazine did a quote-unquote expose. They sent in an undercover reporter who alleged that they were an abductee, had done all their homework, presented very well, knew how to respond to the different questions and protocols, went under, but didn't allow themselves to fully go under, and gave a story that John accepted that was then used to embarrass him and make him look foolish. It's not difficult on a certain level to create a tenable situation like that, or to be taken in by somebody who is unscrupulous or has their own agenda. Is there anybody in your listening audience, or you or me, who has not been fooled by somebody whose intention was to fool you? Please.
Yeah,
but this is not
a couple
that.
Really, examples, unfortunately. Okay, here's another question. During your tenure, and ongoing tenure with the Intruders Foundation, was Bud or you ever exposed to some form of more rigid evidence? For example, a police report which confirms that an alleged abductee was reported as missing by others at the time of a supposed abduction, or a professional opinion by an MD regarding scoop marks and a missing fetus. These are examples that Ellendil is giving you.
thank you so much for that question. Overwhelmingly, yes, and repeatedly. I remember over the years speaking with individuals who, on the phone, I would read the initial letter. I'd bring it to Bud's attention. He would ask me to give them a call, invite them in, or chat with them on the phone. I remember one of the most poignant ones, calling a young woman who had written an incredibly poignant letter to Bud with all the bells and whistles and scarification and multiple witnesses and a history, and having brought in her physician and then her therapist, who had was forced to realize that it wasn't, you know, some neuroses or something. And when I told her who I was and why I was calling, and her initial question is, this, am I crazy? I said, I'm not a mental health professional, but to the very best of my knowledge and understanding and study, this has happened to many, many people all over the world. And I heard her literally turn and scream like, Mom, he says that not a lot's happened to a lot of people, and they have evidence. It was really heart-rending, but, oh, absolutely. We have a lot over the years of corroborating mental health, professional testimony, physical evidences, x-rays of objects that should not be in your body, repeated pairing of, again, a small scoop mark scar that appeared on the body at a certain point that was noticed by the parent that night or something, when they're giving the kid a bath, and that it was already cauterized, but they knew it wasn't there before, and that it and I wasn't using that as an allegory earlier, that it absolutely...
You're talking about professional opinions about these events and evidence, correct?
Well, I'm talking about professional opinions based on bringing it together in a case history, so to say, but that...
I think what Ellendale's trying to get at is, do we have any police reports? Do we have any professional opinions rendered into the record that these things are real and unexplained? In other words, I think what he's getting at is, you know, seasoned professionals, whether they're law enforcement or medical doctors, willing to stay on the record in you know, some sort of official form, that these are inexplicable, this is inexplicable evidence.
This is the hourly cliffhanger. Peter Robbins will be back with the answer to that question. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.